Yeah.
Welcome to a very special Splatcast, post-Superman Splatcast. It is spoilerific. So we're going to talk a little bit about the movie, and if you have not seen the movie and you don't want some of the plot points spoiled, skip it so you see the movie. Tonight we have Paul and Jennifer and Jesse, and we've all just gotten back from the movie, so we're hanging out at Denny's having scrub and trying to get the microphone.
In the cream.
In the cream.
Congratulations. They're in the cream. Good job.
Okay. So first impression, what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
Liked it, didn't love it.
Also liked it, didn't love it.
I loved it, but I had some problems.
Fair enough. Being the biggest Superman fan at the table, you get the first dibs.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the biggest plot twist is that Superman has a son, right? But throughout the whole movie, you're under the impression that the mic is over there. Right here.
I'm technologically impaired, apparently. Visually, apparently. Well, right, I get to see the word, you don't.
Yeah. So, anyway, you're under the impression that that the kid is Cyclops and Lois Lane's son.
But does anybody really fall for that at any point?
Cyclops and Lois
Lane.
You want to establish other Cyclops.
Cyclops had to die in X-Men 3 to come to Metropolis and bone Lois Lane.
Well, you know, might be a fair trade-off because she's obviously crazy. And willing to kill with her mind. I don't know. I might get to the bitch with her mind.
You know, I have to say, I think I might pick Kate Bosworth over Famke Janssen anyway. Famke Janssen's hot, but I don't know. In a really kind of skinny way. Yeah.
I find her creepy and bony in weird ways, but this other chick was like a throwback to the 20s I wasn't a fan of.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Elegant.
It might be the hairstyle.
Fabulous stuff. Yeah.
But the character Jean Grey is hotter, but the actress is not the hotter of the two actresses. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah. Okay, so what bothers me? throughout the whole movie, it's Cyclops and Lois Lane's son.
Right.
And the whole movie, Superman's a creep. He's a stalker.
Yeah.
He goes to their house. He uses X-ray vision to just, like, check up on them, listen in on their conversation.
He does, in a way, I was glad to see them do some of the stuff, because although Superman is supposed to be, you know, the ideal person, he's still a person.
Right.
And though there are certain moral lines that most people would happily cross and not think immoral, but maybe just kind of a little gray, and he never would, I think there should be some humanizing things that, okay, maybe he doesn't look underneath women's dresses because he's Superman,
right.
Even though we might do that, cough, if we had X-ray vision, you know, he won't, but he would maybe, like, you know, watch her go up in the elevator,
there are certain things. Well, that's a fine moment, but as much as, and I get that Clark was, this is a Clark moment, I mean, even he's in the Superman costume, it's a Clark moment. You know, he went away for 5 years expecting the woman that he loved to wait for him, and she didn't, and so he's hurt, and he doesn't know how to handle that. So he kind of takes a little bit of advantage of his powers. I understand that. It's still a little creepy.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is to talk about the shades of gray, and Superman's not about the shades of gray. You know, he's not allowed to really live in that. He's got to be
right.
One or the other.
Right.
The movie is very throwback to the first movie. I mean, it's almost like it's like the same genre. You could even say it's like been directed to the point.
Similar to Stevens, yeah.
But yet, that was a black and white Superman. All right, that there was no shades of gray there, and he struggled that line, but he still towed it. Here, you got a Superman who's doing these creepy things and not being able to
do
it, and then you got a Superman who, hey. Bought Lois on a one-night stand. I mean,
right.
that's
on a
not
big, weird silver bed.
Yeah, the only time he's ever really done anything like
that. It's true.
Silver bed, what?
Isn't that at the end of two, right?
Yeah, two. Where they're up.
I must have forgotten.
When he takes her up to the Fortress of Solitude after he reveals his identity, and they have the dinner date, and you know, he flies to Maui and gets her a flower, and comes back, and then. You know, they screw around on the bed. It's a big silver bed.
Isn't it after that Mind's wife?
Yeah.
So,
well,
so she was pre- pregnant. She had no idea why.
Well, she conveniently hooked up with Richard so soon after that she rationalized
it. She's a whore.
But that's got a mess with her mind. I mean, that should have been more of a frightening realization for her, because she's like, oh my God, I ever sleep in...
Well, you know, it depends on how, I mean, yes, they say it's supposed to take place after the second movie, but, you know, is it supposed to take place after the second movie did time-wise, you know, or is it really just, you know, yes, this movie occurred then and this movie would have occurred after, but really we're not in continuity. I mean, how in continuity
right.
are they?
It's supposed to be dead in continuity.
That's a flaw.
Right. We'll get back to what bothers me about the kid in a second, but if you look at it, what's funny about Superman Returns coming directly after Superman 2 is that apparently Metropolis is in the punctuated equilibrium theory of technological evolution, because in Superman 2, the whole office, everyone smokes in the office, there's typewriters, maybe a couple word processors, you know, complete technology of the 70s.
Sure.
5 years later, we have the internet, we've got flat screen TVs, we have, high quality digital cameras, and, you know, all this new millennium stuff.
All right. Food, yeah.
You want the,
food, yeah. So apparently, you know, technology kind of evolves at a very, very slow pace, or kind of maintains equilibrium, and all of a sudden, bam! Like, you know, all this shit happens at once.
Alien influence.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that that's always a problem when you have movies that are that far apart, you know, in real time.
Okay, so what bothers me about the kid. So at the end of the movie, they do kind of establish that Lois is going to stay with Richard White. Because that was kind of shaky for a little while. I wasn't sure, you know, she was going to leave. Because Superman's a creep, and he's trying to break up this family of guy, girl, and their kid. You know, he's going after the woman. I'm like, no, she's with the guy.
Yeah.
And has a kid with him. You don't invade that one. She has to, like, leave and then wait a while.
Right. You have to desperately want to invade.
And then not.
The whole back.
Because you're super...
No. Or, you know, or the old accidental invade, you know, at least the, you know, I know I shouldn't love you, but I still do, but don't worry, I'll stay out of it. But the very act of telling them you still care gets them to come back anyway, and they didn't even have the courtesy to do that.
No, he was all making a play, you know.
He's like, Powers, I got him.
Yeah, my husband takes me up all, or, you know, my guy takes me up all the time. Yeah, not like that.
Not like that. Yeah, that was pretty, that was a little out there, part of it. You know, it was almost like, come on, like, I'm Superman,
right.
Come on, you know, which is another thing, because he's supposed to be a pretty modest guy, really, you know.
But he's really like, you know what, look what I can do. Check this out.
Well, hey, you know, in the field of the heart, and even fair game. Right, you
fair
know.
Fair point. I mean, you know, all fair and love and war stuff, but it's really not fair when you're going up against Superman. How do you compete?
Yeah, you almost feel bad for the other guy.
Right.
Like, well, they made him nice. That was the problem. They made him really nice.
He was an awesome guy.
They had the out, too. They had the out where he could have died tragically, saving people.
I'm so glad they didn't. But, well, you know, Gene fixed his eyes. So now he can come into Metropolis. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, blowing holes and everything without his sunglasses on. He can be a regular hero.
Not so much.
Of course.
Because I said it when I, you know.
Well, there's something that I found amusing. Although he's a much nicer person, like is this guy destined to play variation on ordinary guy? Because, I'm sorry, Cyclops to me seems like really ordinary guy who gets screwed up. And now he seems like really ordinary guy who's happily there.
No,
like,
Cyclops is an ordinary guy with a chip on his shoulder. He had that whole thing. He told the line, but he knew, you know. This guy was just a general
guy. But to me, Cyclops was ordinary. It's like, what would happen if you took an ordinary guy and had these kinds of things happen to him? You know, it's like he started out as an ordinary guy, and now he wants to be an ordinary guy, but he's not.
Right.
And because he doesn't get to be an ordinary guy, he has a chip on his shoulder, and he tells the line.
No.
That's how he always felt to me in the movie. Well, in the comics, too, but, yeah.
The chip on the shoulder guy, that's Wolverine. I mean, that's Wolverine's shtick. That's not... Scott. At least to my thought.
No, I think you're. I mean, they have different chips. He's got like some nut block on his shoulder.
Kind of a tight end. You know, I mean.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he also was. He was never a warm guy. I mean, he's not a caring guy. He does what he's supposed to do.
Well, are we talking about Wolverine now or Cyclops?
Cyclops.
Okay.
And then as soon as you start giving him crap, he gives it right back.
Yeah.
That's a chip on your shoulder.
No, but he is warm and caring and loving with Gene. You know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's different with person you love, and just in general, he's not like, hey, welcome to
this.
Right. No, he's not that kind of guy.
No.
You know, he's not somebody you go up to, and you know, he might give you advice, but you don't go there looking for some comfort. And,
right.
And it's cold. You know,
you don't cry on Cyclops' shoulder.
Exactly, and so that's an edge that you know people don't think. Give him enough.
Because either he'll give you no love or he'll start crying himself depending on the episode.
Right. So, okay. So anyway, I mean, he's this really great guy, right?
Right.
And you kind of want Lois and Richard to be together. I mean, that's what I got. I kind of want them to be. There's a part of you that's like, well, Lois is supposed to be with Superman, but, I mean, he's just a cool guy. And he turns the plane around twice.
You keep waiting for him to kind of be a lame-o, and really the only flaw he has is, you know, is that he's not super.
That he does seem
to fall short in that light, but I mean, come on.
Right.
Careful, Aaron.
That was worth him spewing coffee.
I just blew on it. It's battered. But, okay, so what bothers me is he's a really great guy.
Right.
Superman's tried to break up their pseudo-marriage.
Right.
And now he finds out that the kid is his. Right? Now they've set up this scenario after the ending credits where the kid now has to lie to his dad. Okay? Lois tells Superman that the kid is there. Right? I think the kid hurt him. I think that's up for debate, but I think the kid hurt him because he ran up and gave him the kiss like before they left. You know.
And if nothing else, the whole piano thing probably
a little tip.
Yeah. It didn't seem like, you know, a dense kind of
well, so even if he doesn't
remind me to go back to the piano thing.
Okay.
Continue.
So even if he doesn't have it confirmed, you know, at some point he's going to put together that, you know what, daddy's not my daddy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Lois is going to tell him, hey, by the way, the kid's not yours. You know, he's Superman. So now, you know, he knows Lois still loves Superman. Finds out that his kid is actually Superman.
Right.
This poor guy is going to lose Superman, like, his whole rest of his life. This is the makings of a Spider-Man villain.
Ooh, an excellent point. If they have the foresight to use
no,
that.
No, but it's they're not, I mean, no.
It's a different style.
Since they've done this already in the vein of the first one, and they even made, they wasted Kevin Spacey on a Gene Hackman role, I really...
Wasted nothing.
Wasted.
Oh.
You should just hire Gene Hackman again.
I love Kevin Spacey. Yes, he got in touch with his inner Gene Hackman, but...
Yeah, I mean, he was playing the Gene Hackman.
But you know what? Brandon Routh is playing Christopher Reeve playing Superman.
It's almost like Kevin Spacey's like, you know what I really like? Lex Luthor in those early movies. And then he, like, plays the exact same role. Instead of being Kevin Spacey, it's just
a matter of how much you like the first Gene Hackman. Lex Luthor, if you thought he was great, then it was great. If you didn't like him, you know.
Bryan Singer loved the first two movies, went to Richard Donner and asked for all kinds of permission and his blessing on this. It was a stated goal that he wanted this to be directly tied to the first two and a continuation thereof. So, as the director and someone who has a working relationship with Kevin Spacey, I see it well within the realm of possibility that he said, okay, Kevin, here's where I want you to go with this. I want you to take what Gene Hackman built, and you can be more sinister, which he is, but, you know, try to hold on to some of this great... kind of wackiness that Gene Hackman put in it, and you know, make it your own, but hold on to some of it. Same way that Brandon Routh as Clark Kent is very clearly Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent. It's his impression of Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent.
Well, it's like she said, it's in the vein of the first movies as much as it could.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, though, don't waste Kevin Spacey on it.
I don't see that as a
way.
I think the... Well, whoever the guy is, was Perry.
Oh.
He's in a lot of stuff.
See, again, I don't think that's a waste. I think he did. He did a fantastic job.
He was fatherly enough. He was so middle of the road.
He was maybe a little too J. Jonah Jameson for me.
Oh, kidding?
Wow,
oh,
you gotta be joking.
Completely opposite.
If anything,
it's
was
like
the total opposite.
They were so afraid to be like that, they made him completely opposite.
He only had one thing where she insisted she take the story,
right.
Even that wasn't yelling.
I mean, he was so laid back and kind of pussyfooting. I mean,
they had him be very, like, almost wise. Like, he had a good facial expression. They had to be almost wise, but he, like, always knew. What was going on, that is Perry, but they didn't do a lot with him, and it didn't have any wisdom or advice.
You know,
he just looked wise.
Three things sell newspapers: Superman,
tragedy. He's always a hard nose with everybody, but when Lois Lois is now his nephew's fiance, and he had no advice for her at any point, and I didn't take her side. He was always very comforting, none at all. In fact, the only character I was 100% happy with, and I think was great, was Jenny.
Oh, he was cool.
Everything he was in, nailed. But yeah, Jimmy's shoes were great.
Jimmy was awesome.
My
camera's down. I have no computer. Oh, I'm all right.
No, it was like half the things she said, you know? I mean, even the taking credit for the thing and just the being... Oh, my God. There was not a single scene in there. It wasn't just a great scene within a minute.
Sure.
We were laughing because I turned my computer over and did this for no apparent reason. Honestly, I think he was the best actor character thing. So I'm not that in problem with anybody else.
Because I'm usually not a big Jimmy fan.
You wanted to come back to the...
I did want to come back to the channel, but it wasn't the actual act of the channel. It was how it related to something else, moving on.
Getting its powers or...
Yeah, I'll get there someday.
We're talking about the metaphors in the movie. It's two major ones, I guess the metaphors. Where, you know, he uses the model... And you see the model destruction of the world, and then we created. You get an idea. Did you get the prison analogy at the end? At the end of the day, when he took out Superman, he talked about when he was in prison, all he was a thug with a chip in his pocket.
Doesn't matter how valuable you are.
Oh right,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how smart you are. You're not nearly as valuable as a pack of cigarettes and a sharp item in your pocket.
Sharp chip in your pocket, whatever. And you waffle out. It's just a bunch of thugs beating him up, and then that. I mean, I thought that was kind of. Yeah, a lot of space in the movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was special effects of extravaganza, but then so was the first one, but it was 1978, so no one really, you know. So we wouldn't notice, but... what do you think of the 3D?
I enjoyed it. I think it was wise that he didn't do the whole movie in 3D.
He would have, but he didn't have time.
It would have been a bad idea, because half the scenes are in an office with people talking. And
right.
If somebody at work was like... Yeah, it'd be cool. I talked to him and he goes, pencil at him. I'm like, yeah, but anyone now watching Dreams, like, why did you just throw that pencil?
Right.
You know?
There were a couple of scenes that I thought were probably filmed with an eye toward it being in 3D. Like, the first time you see the yacht, it has this weird kind of obtuse angle that it comes at you. It's almost sideways on the screen with the bow of the ship, like, coming toward you. Very prominent in the foreground, which... if it were in 3D, would be coming at your head, which would have been cool. But Bryan Singer's involved with this like cadre of directors, including George Lucas and James Cameron, who are pushing for theaters to convert to digital 3D, to be able to project digital 3D. James Cameron said that he's never going to work in any other medium but digital 3D from now on.
See, the problem with it is, ultimately, it felt like model digital. When you saw the farm, it felt like model farm. When you saw the boat, it felt like a model boat.
I'd have to see it in 2D to see how that actually compares on flat film, but that might have just been bad modeling.
And then on top of that, like the scene with the plane, the outside shots were great. inside shots
were bad.
Far too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. You, to me, it feels like you can't get finite detail with 3D.
Yeah.
You know, the intricacies of an interior of a plane, not so much.
It's a little jarring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that scene would be jarring enough in 2D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have Lois flying about the cabin in 3D. It's just,
ooh,
a little motion sick, but...
It was not a huge action movie, but man, they like to throw people around and smack them.
Don't they?
Oh my God.
Gotta give mad props to the sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because what sells impact is the sound. I mean, yeah, you can have... Obviously, there's, like, levels of visual. If you have some guy take a swing at somebody who's obviously 5 feet away, okay, give it a swing. But even if a punch appears to
like
connect...
Like the Blade premiere.
like the Blade premiere.
Wow. Oh, was it bad?
It wasn't real good. It was. It got better as the show went on. Quick aside, just for your info, because you watched like the first 20 minutes of it or so. I am glad to say, because I thought it would be kind of lame if they tried to have this cop, this military chick, who is the best part of the show, and I was just thinking, oh, if she can actually, like, act and her lines aren't gay, have her try to keep up with Blade, you know, would be, and not make her, like, the girl, would be difficult, especially since the level of writing was not so brilliant that, you know, you expected it. They turned her into a vampire. Like just episode one.
Just right off the bat.
Just episode one, they turn her into a vampire, and she now takes the same serum Blade does, but it doesn't make her half human or any garlic, sunlight, the whole nine. She's a vampire, that stuff replaces the need for blood. And she actually, moral quandary, she actually kills the cop who,
the dirty cop?
The dirty cop.
I'll have to put a spoiler warning for the Blade premiere as well.
But she works, she continues, it looks like she's going to continue living with and kind of spying on and working for the bad guy, the main head vampire, the guy who's actually responsible for her brother's death.
Trying
to bring them all now. And this was cool twist. The dirty cop, the reason she killed him is because after he turned into a vampire, first they give her some blood and she like really likes it, because they always do, but they need to have her do the first kill, right? And the dirty cop, they bring in, and they're like, blah, 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 this, that, and the other, and you failed me for the last time kind of thing. It's like, but normally it wouldn't be that big a deal, but unfortunately, you're the only person I know who she really doesn't like. And he's like, what? Because he's asking to be turned. He's like, why don't you make me one of you if he's trying to get in, right? So she, like, rips out his throat, and, like the whole thing is Blade's supposed to get there before she does it, you know, because it's harder to turn him back after they've done their first kill. Almost impossible. And you think he's going to make it in time because the movie's been kind of cliche at this point, and he doesn't. And you see her, like, over the dude's throat, and she, like, attacks him, like, later and stuff. But finally he manages to eject her and turn her back and all the stuff. So another twist, because it got better in the second half. The very end of the movie, the guy's dead.
I intended to watch this.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. That's fine. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. You're not missing anything.
At this point.
You're not missing anything, really.
It's not too late.
At the very end of the movie, you see the guy smile and wake up, and it's kind of at the same angle he was at on the floor, but you just see his face, you see him smile, and there's fangs, because after she's on the throat, like, Blade broke and hell broke loose. And you see him just kind of laugh, like that, hi, I can't believe I'm definitely not laughing. Then it pans back. He's strapped into the things you see at the beginning of the movie where they're taking the vampires and using them to make as the experiments to make the blood banks and stuff. You see all the guys hanging from the roof at the very beginning? Those are like the experiment vampires.
Oh.
The guys being wheeled in the white rooms.
Of course.
Stuff.
Okay.
So it pans back. And at first you think you see them and he's like, what? What? No! You know, I was like, brilliant. That's a great little clip.
So, yeah.
So, second half good, first half bad. Overall, okay.
All right. How did it related to the Superman movie? You went somewhere with the...
Oh! The sound.
Oh,
and
sound.
The
right.
Tangent. The sound really creates impact. And every time
you're on that yacht. Oh,
wrong.
Can
I get another cup of coffee, please?
One other thing. Sorry to bug you, but
okay.
The ranch is gone. Ixnay on the entree, so.
Bad. It's their free range.
Ah.
Let me get
you.
Ah,
free.
Yeah. I'm like, there's something.
All is well.
That's why I didn't care. I'm like, ah, that's rad. I'm used to that.
Because I didn't know what this trailer was wrong.
It's far too healthy.
No, it was bitter. I mean, there was a bite to it. I
had no problem.
No, not least with Sassy Ranch. No, it tastes pretty much.
It just wasn't
Sassy Ranch kind of has a bite to it.
Right.
So.
It just wasn't
spoiled. It's covered the fact that it's not finished.
All was wrong.
Okay. Now, I realize now I'm just not a big fan of the style of the... With Superman, I enjoy the human dynamic, you know, the whole Clark Kent struggle, which is probably why I like Lois and Clark the series, even though I'm not a huge romantic, you know, but
right.
The way they did it, it was a great action-adventure kind of drama. But I realized, you know, well, overall, I'm not a fan of, like, the original style anymore.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Stylings of it. Oh. Maybe I'm a bit spoiled, I have to say. You know, I'm a... Huge fan of Joss Whedon. I like some Kevin Smith. You know, Spider-Man's been really good. X-Men's only gotten better. I'm liking that comic book movies aren't even Daredevil tried to throw in some logic there and made him sleep in a sleep deprivation chamber and stuff like that. I'm enjoying the logic. I'm enjoying the half to rationalize things, okay? And this, it's like 25 steps back. You know what? And it shows, fine, it's the next movie in the series. You have to go back with it, but I mean, ouch. It kind of felt like a regression. As a kind of a fan, I kind of didn't like that. I mean, like the dramatic woman careening through the thing in a car, and technically no one got hit because never showed it, and her brakes. And her car only keeps going faster, okay? I mean, you hit 5 cars, guess what? Your car's not so fast anymore, you're a lot less dangerous.
Just so you know, in case your brakes ever do go out, put car in neutral. FYI.
You mean don't sit there and just scream and then somehow pick up speed by hitting other cars?
Right.
Did you try and turn off the key? It broke off. Right.
Yeah. Which I don't think you can do while it's in drive. You do it neutral, you can't do it in drive.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
But, you know, it just, most of the, so much of it, like, I feel when you're having to write Batman, you have to figure it out, and they give reasons why he isn't great here. And when they're writing Spider-Man, it's like, well, he's living in this crazy apartment, he's selling stuff, he can't balance it with life for crap, you know? When you write Superman, it's like, so now he needs to get rid of it off the planet. How? Oh, he's Superman, he can just do it. I mean, that shouldn't be the writer's excuse. That's hard.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Batman has no powers. He is a detective. So if you don't show the detective figuring it out, you fail the story. Peter's whole shtick is that he's a teenager young adult who hasn't figured out himself yet. He's still now at this point, but by Spider-Man 3, he's going to have adjusted to his powers already. However, he's going to have the suit now, the symbiote.
Oh, yeah.
So,
looking forward to
that.
Oh,
awesome.
Man.
So he has the symbiote. So that's a whole new adjustment thing.
Really good. Thank you.
You know, Peter's whole shtick is he's adjusting to something new all the time. Superman is Superman. He's an alien. They've always shown him well into his superheroic career. Even the first movie, it wasn't like his first, well, I guess it was his first appearance, but it wasn't the first time he dealt with his powers. I mean, he had been at the Fortress of Solitude for, 10 years or whatever.
So really what I hear you saying is they need to come out with Smallville the movie. That's what I hear you say.
Die.
Street show flow of the leaders.
No longer joining us for the podcast.
Right. This will be Jesse's last podcast.
With the tires of the unbelievers from Light the Way.
Light the Way.
So Superman doesn't have to have all that stuff explained. Besides which, everyone knows Superman. I mean, if you ask someone to name a superhero, but then they name either Superman or Batman, you might get a Spider-Man, but the first one out of their mouth is going to be Superman and Batman. You know,
before the Spider-Man movies, maybe even after, certainly a true.
I don't think you have to find a rational explanation for all of Superman's powers. You don't have to come up with some kind of mechanism for him to have to fly and have heat vision and everything.
But
else.
You should be consistent.
You just accept it.
You should be consistent. And in the same episode, he lands on a planet. This is really his kryptonite.
And then he gets affected by the point where he gets the crap beat out of him, he's near mortal. Then he's lifting the thing up into the sky, tossing it away.
That is a problem.
He didn't get
a little charged, though.
That's true, but technically that could be just, I mean, he was, like, below par, and then that might have put him par maybe a little above.
Yeah.
Also, he's Superman. I mean,
to me, he should have flown out, you know, halfway to Venus and back and gotten the full, you know, full charge.
Fought into the sun, come back, yeah.
End of the sun, I think, probably was a little
well,
much,
well, why not? He's Superman.
That's true.
Well,
not that he couldn't survive it, just that it would have been more, it would have been so much a fact that it would have ruined the story point they were trying to make, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, is I like the idea of what they were trying to communicate. It's a classic plot device, one that I have no problem with, just because it's used repeatedly doesn't inherently make it flawed. The fact that, okay, now he's serious, now he's going to put in extreme effort, and because he's putting in extreme effort, he's getting extreme results. You know, the old, you know, the kung fu guy, you know, he's getting his butt kicked, but then he's really mad because he sees his girlfriend in trouble. Now he's an unstoppable.
Now
story.
He does a special move that his master showed him at the beginning of the movie. He could never quite get down.
That's okay, but, you know, but that's only good, you know, for the kinds of things that we believe, you know, adrenaline maybe can help us overcome.
Yeah.
You know, you have this kryptonite, which is supposed to be like his worst nightmare, you know, and he's been, you know, first time he shows up, he gets totally wasted within seconds. That being the key, how fast
it
had an effect on him. And stats with it, no less. You know, and the second time he shows up, like, there's literally an island versus the stuff.
Right.
You know.
And started burrowing towards his chest.
Right.
You know,
and they make that scene so long.
Yeah.
So long.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's like the whole movie. It's so long.
Well, yeah, it was 2.5 hours. It was a little lengthy.
My poor bladder is all I have to say.
I get that whole thing. I really have no argument for that whatsoever. If he had grabbed the thing and just, like, chucked it,
it's like the time he throws the leg and lifts it up.
Yeah, sure.
That takes some much strength, man.
Although I'm very proud of them for making the wings on the plane break when you're trying to steer the thing, grab the thing by the wing. Having it just fracture under pressure,
They bothered to do several times. He grabbed the beam that's in the middle on the ship, which is the only thing to hold it. They were going along again with the lifting of the island.
One spot, just somewhere, anywhere, nowhere near the middle. He'll just lift it up and throw it away.
Right. How, you know, gravity? Did it cease to function?
No, because chunks are falling off. Which... Okay.
They tried.
Here's another problem. Where did the other white crystals go?
Yeah, where are the bottom of the ocean?
What have we established happens when you put those crystals in the water?
Technically, they dropped them on the surface of the island.
And fell into the water, because immediately after the surface she dropped it on, went...
Really?
For the
helicopter jumped off.
Which I indicated with a vertical and...
I mean, they showed rock collapsing. I didn't know it was
collapsing. No, there was a whole earth moving. Yeah, there was a lift. So
because
I'm like, oh,
lifting.
It's okay, he'll find it. And then it lifted. I'm like, well, now there'd be no finding it.
Right.
I'm okay with this if they explain it in the next movie. It's one of those things that, okay, it looks like it's just falling in the ocean. I mean, that seems to be an oversight of such gigantic proportion.
That to me, that's the theme of the movie, but that's okay. The little side of the woman signed away all her stuff to the guy with no witnesses and all that stuff. It's like, we don't need legality. We're here for dramatics.
We're not going to quibble over metropolitan law.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes, we are. Because you know why? It's America. It's not like it's a whole different country.
Witnesses aren't required.
Huh?
Witnesses aren't required to sign your will.
Well, then the same legality. If a man can get off a double life sentence...
He didn't get it notarized. There's a problem.
Oh, there we go. World ends, because no notarization.
Let's just say, the getting of the method by which the money was gained... The first was conceptual and clever and poignant, poorly executed.
Sure.
Oh, beyond poorly executed.
The dog. Dog.
The dogs are great.
That was hysterical.
What, the two of them?
Yeah. But you know what you don't get? A feral dog back to being a domesticated pet you can cuddle up by your neck. Because you know what you become? Lunch.
That's what's cute. It's funny.
That applies to a lot of animals, but when you're like 12 times animal size, I think there's, you know...
I don't know about that, but
whatever.
If it was
honestly,
a Rottweiler.
Honestly, I didn't get that it was Gene Hackman clone until that chick showed up. And so, I mean, because she was with her, and I thought she was like, I'm thinking, like, Lex from Lois and Clark, and I'm thinking Lex from Smallville.
No.
Where if she's, like, some uber-military person designed to be, like, his bodyguard. And then she comes, yeah, I couldn't. And she, you know, I expect some super uber-military.
You expected Mercy from
the
cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead you get
one.
Right.
You get Miss Tessmacher.
With nothing.
No, I had no problem.
But is Miss Tessmacher? I mean,
what I'm saying, and then I'm like, oh,
your frame of reference, right? Your frame of reference for these is apparently skewed by the different media in which these appear. I mean, this is supposed to be a continuation of the Superman movie. So, supposed to occur within the same universe. So, taken within that universe, I think they did a fantastic job. And I will never agree with you that Kevin Spacey was wasted in this movie. I thought he was
destroyed. Well, the thing is, since it was supposed to be from the first movie, I mean, do you know anybody who could have pulled off Gene Hackman better?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's other people out there. You didn't need a name. You got a name because people in the audience.
I think it's very, very difficult to
do impressions of Gene Hackman all the time.
Right, but well, but I don't know that they do them well enough to be like, you know, wow, that couldn't have been. These are better questions. Do you think of anybody who you think would have made a better Gene Hackman?
Oh, thank you.
No, it's not my job, but I don't know.
Okay. Kevin Spacey and Bryan Singer are friends. They worked together on a couple of movies, and The Usual Suspects, I mean, like, Kevin Spacey's big break was also Bryan Singer's big break. So, he didn't have to do a lot of convincing Kevin Spacey to do it.
I'm just saying, much like, I didn't see the movie, but much like it felt with the Adam Sandler foot scene, it's a role that it wasn't weakened because he was there, but so could have been anybody else. It did not require the special talent of Kevin Spacey. I don't think, I haven't seen it, so I can tool track, but it felt like it didn't require the special talent of Adam Sandler.
I thought that Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor is an excellent combination of his kind of sarcastic, neurotic husband from The Rest and the psychotic, creepy guy from Seven. I mean, these are two characters he's played.
I have no desire to see it. I've already heard everything about it, but I don't want to hear it.
That's fine. I'm not telling you to go watch Seven, but Kevin Spacey in Seven is phenomenal. And he is exactly that creepiness, that kind of just on the border of insanity, on which side you're not sure, but on the border of insanity that Lex is one, that is, you know, key to Lex's character.
Well, I get why I have a problem with it. I find Kevin Spacey and Johnny Depp in the same kind of field, whereas you have a role, and you might even think you kind of have an idea where you want it to go, and they come in, and they open your eyes to a new way to go with it, because that role isn't just what you created, if they're working with you to create something. Okay? These are people who are masters of their craft. This doesn't require any sort of special hand by Kevin Spacey. This is a...
Oh, I disagree.
You watch it. To execute it, maybe, you know, to a degree, maybe, but I mean, ultimately, here's how you want this role done. Do it. I already have an idea. This is the role. This is how we have it. We want to be like Gene Hackman. We do that.
So you don't think that maybe Gene Hackman's role is one so intense, and the original role was one so intense and difficult, or such a brilliant character, that it warrants a brilliant reputation?
No, especially since it's already defined. So Gene Hackman made the role, and I credit him for it. He's there, he made that last movie what it is.
But he wasn't.
Now you have all the rules. It's like, oh, here's how you do it now.
No,
rinse and repeat.
The Gene Hackman Lex Luthor didn't have anywhere near the edge that Kevin Spacey did. I mean, nowhere near.
There was a difference. I mean, I agree with you. There was a difference between the two, and it wasn't a complete recounting, but it wasn't, you know, it felt like the same Lex Luthor, except now
he had
more edge of right, exactly. It's like the same character evolved as the story. Which is what I thought was appropriate, but,
I don't know that I've seen, like, Gene Hackman play the role, but...
The opening completely put me out.
Which part?
The opening was Lex. It was so...
I thought you were to get the opening credit sequence, just jazzed my fanboy.
No.
All the hell
of that. The opening Kevin Spacey scene totally put me off.
What part of it?
Well, just... you sit there and it was, I mean, it was so cheesy. So the whole scene was just
the rain and the glass and the...
Oh, that was a great touch, though.
Okay.
That was a great touch, I thought. Yeah. Throwing the ring in the glass and see.
Yeah, that was like the best part of it.
Sure.
I thought it was like hokey, like small little crap. I think
maybe we hit the nail on the head here. I think we've come to the point where really what it maybe boils down to, correct me if I'm wrong here, is it's, yes, it was a retelling, and there was absolutely no, not absolutely, there was very little innovation. As far as, you know...
It was regression.
I'm just saying, in the sense that, like, here's the progression of the story. You know, the first one, the second one, this one. And we progressed exactly sort of along that line, both story-wise and stylistically speaking. There was room for innovation, but now it's just a matter of, but, you know... Should they have innovated more with it? And I think that's where we come to a general difference of opinions. I mean, they could have, you know, it's not a degree. They could have done more innovation and still had it respect, the first two. Instead, they chose to go with a purely classic view of it. Is that good or bad? That's why I think it's completely a matter of
opinion. I see Kevin Spacey doing Lex Luthor as inspired by Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor, but not doing Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor. You know what I mean? Like, there's an obvious base of inspiration, but I think he makes it his own. I mean, there's no point that I was watching a movie going, you know, God, I wish I was someone else.
No, I don't think about anybody else, but I do think it was him doing Gene Hackman's Lex
Luthor. It's not that I wish it was somebody else. It's not like I feel the need for someone else to be in it. I just feel I was expecting more out of Kevin Spacey. You know,
I have to wonder if proto geeks had the same discussion around Gene Hackman, because he was a dramatic actor before he did Lex Luthor too. I mean, he'd had some comedy background, but I mean, he did Poseidon Adventure too, which is a heavy dramatic role.
Oh man, that's a hard one to watch.
So I mean, and you've seen him do, you know.
Oh yeah, no.
Crimson Tide and.
I have mad respect for Gene Hackman.
Right. So.
I just don't like his Lex Luthor.
His Lex Luthor was a little campy, which I thought.
Well, I mean, really, it sounds like both sides. You don't like Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor.
Did I just say
that? No, I'm sorry. Original actor.
Gene Hackman. I think I literally just said, like...
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking Kevin Spacey.
I don't like
Here's me flipping the words Kevin Spacey and Gene Hackman in my mind.
I think that's the problem. I like Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor for what it was. So I appreciated the inspiration it provided Kevin Spacey in making Lex Luthor his. But you didn't like the base that he had to begin with, and so you felt that he was completely wasted on the character. Whereas I think he did exactly the right thing. He took the inspiration and added his own touch and his own edge and his own interpretation of what 5 years in jail would do to the campy Lex Luthor, and made it his own. You know, I thought it was absolutely appropriate.
I guess you go back and you watch a movie that's 20 years old, let's say Star Wars, Superman, or anything. Mm-hmm. You go back and you watch, it's like, well, that's really things. Like watching a lot of these old 70s horror movies now. You watch it, and you can see where it might have been great at the time, but there's things you got in today, or you would change and improve upon it. I think it was a hindrance to the Superman movie that they didn't really, I don't feel they did that with this. They looked at it more as inspiration as to what he's doing, and they didn't see it as like, well, we did this, we could do it slightly better here, or modernize it here. Without really taking too much of it away, but I don't think they did that at all. I think they really just tried so hard to keep it in line with it.
That leads me to another question, and a more general question, since we've been kind of hammering the same point for
a while.
It's obvious that Bryan Singer was a big fan of the Richard Donner movies, because the first and second one are Richard Donner's children. I mean, he made those, he directed one and a half of them. Those were his vision, okay? Bryan Singer's obviously very in love with those movies. And so when he was given the opportunity to do Superman, he chose to take that as a base of inspiration and update it a little bit, but tell the story from that universe, right?
Okay. I'm with you.
Would you have rather that he had taken the Batman Begins approach and just erased the prior movies, all four prior movies, from continuity and started over with a whole new universe? Like Lois and Clark did, like Smallville did. You know, started from essentially scratch. Here's the story. Young kid is, you know, child is rocketed to Earth from a dying planet, lands in a Kansas farm, go. Would that have, would you have been more satisfied that way?
Well, only because what was good at the time was good at the time. And I think it's hurt it more than helped it by trying to keep in vain with a movie that's, what, 20 years as junior, 30 years as junior?
Almost 30, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, it was like holding it back.
Here's my issue. And, you know, my initial answer is I'm not really sure. I'd like to choose option C, you know, if A is movie and B is new continuity, I would like to choose C, since he's trying to go X-Men style and try and pull things from the comic book continuity, because, you know...
Spider-Man, too.
Right. A, you know, option A, where they stuck with the movies, had some of the problems that we've discussed. Okay, varying degrees depending on where you're coming from, but there were clearly some issues. Problem B with Superman is that unlike Spider-Man, which did pull a bunch of stuff from the comic, but, you know, a lot of it was new to the, like, you know, people weren't too freaked out about the fact that he didn't make his web shooters.
A lot of people were freaked out about it, but the general public right.
was not. And you can get away with stuff like that because only, you know, the truest geeks like us know that he has web slings, and I actually had no problem with that, so I'm able to put myself outside. I always wanted him to be able to shoot webs, so no problem.
You know, he got to do it when he had the symbiote on, which was cool.
Superman, you get to take a lot less license, because people, even regular people, are a little bit geekier about Superman. Like, they know some stuff. So I hesitate to say do option B, where we started anew, because you take some real risk. Now, but one can make the argument that things like Lois and Clark and Smallville has, you know, already ruined it from that point of view. I'm putting quotes around ruined here. And, you know, people apparently are willing to eat some of that stuff up, so maybe we should give it a whirl. But, you know what, I don't think we need an origin story. I guess that's my real issue.
Which I think they got away with. I mean, if they'd had to start from scratch, they would have had to really do a real origin story.
Yes.
I think they got away with an abbreviated one this time because it's meant to be viewed after the second movie, you know.
You could solve that by doing a flashback. They kind of did that here a little bit. I mean, with the story that's so well known, you can get away with that. So, I mean,
I think a different version of what Jesse's talking about is another challenge they were presented with, which is not only does everybody know Superman, like what he's all about, and what his deal is.
Mm-hmm.
The original Superman movie was the hallmark of the comic book movie. I mean, this was what everything was compared to. So, they had some pretty big shoes to fill in the first place. I think if they had taken that first movie and thrown it out, there would have been a far bigger outcry than...
Right, because you have a lot of people who, like, the movies are. Mm-hmm. That is continuity, as far as much of the general public is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, tell people that Superman, there are people, even though it got to the news and stuff, who don't know that Superman died, and not, like, pretend died, but, like, for a while actually died in the comic books, and they were like, oh, what kind of kryptonite killed him? A few of the more savvy people are like, what magic killed him?
Right.
Only the most hardcore are like, oh, yeah, I remember the issue where Doomsday killed him.
And then there's me. Yeah, the Superman number 75.
Right.
I don't think the series actually finished as well.
Right.
Right.
You know.
So I think, you know, there's been a big problem. If, for example, how long was I arguing with Jeremiah in your room that night over what Superman's actual powers were?
Oh, dude.
Because what was his frame of reference?
The movie.
Right. That was the only source material
we
had.
And once you realized that, the conversation was over.
It was over. I had to argue that he didn't have the power to rip an S-shield off of his chest and throw it at people and, you know, make them stuck to it.
Right.
I would have been happy with that taken out of continuity, by the way. I just want that on the record.
Oh, no, it's classic now.
I'm assuming that it can fly. That never occurred.
This whole thing?
Kind of like Hell in a 2. It never happened.
Right. So.
Oh, I would like to point out that, in all fairness, Lois's memory wipe can never have occurred, as you realize. She doesn't have the power to wipe people's minds either. That's a huge.
He used the fortune of thought. Didn't he?
No, he has a duplicate.
You know, the powers in the second movie. Special effects talent.
Oh,
and he doesn't have the power to rewind time. That was movie number one, right?
Yeah.
I was worried for a moment when Travis was heading for
Metropolis.
I saw a world of stars going on.
I was like, if he starts flying around the fucking planet, I'm going to kick the goddamn ass.
That might have been enough to make me
I would have left. I would have left. I've been waiting for this movie for 10 years. I would have fucking left. I've survived Nicolas Cage and Kevin Smith and McGee and I don't even know who else is on the movie, and finally it's made and he flies back around the Earth and is dead. I would have just stormed out and wanted my money back.
Been like, money now.
Oh, excuse me, manager. Sorry. He flew around the planet again.
Use your super refund power to give me my money back.
You have to spin around to run.
You gotta fly around the world to rewind time to give me my hour back.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I did not like this well as much as I like the last Willis, I will say.
Yeah, Margot Kidder.
Yeah, she was far too
much
soft.
Better. Yep. That was exactly my fear when I heard Kate Bosworth was going to be Lois.
Most people walk in the room and command awesome. Respect, and people have to hate her because she's so good at doing what she does. This role's far too.
Yeah. Margot Kidder was awesome.
Now, but my question is just thinking for a second. Actor? I'm just thinking about, like, her lines and, you know, various ways they could have been delivered. Actors are writing, and I'm really leaning, like, normally it's a split, you know, it's kind of both. You're leaning, like, way towards the writing, because...
I don't know. Like, in the scene in the play, like, there's only one or two real, or even Shaq to Perry.
Yeah,
like
that was my big one.
Two or three scenes where you had a chance to see it, but, like, on the plane, that little, you know, her question wasn't forceful enough. Her, you know, she has an attitude.
Right, and when she's talking to Perry and arguing about how she doesn't want the story, you know, she was kind of like, but I don't want it. And he goes, you know, okay, you got the Superman story. You know, whereas I think
she
could have delivered it much more forcefully than she did.
Oh, she's and storming out, there's doors slamming.
Maybe.
I don't care if Charlie's stopping her, it's not that much, come on.
Yeah.
Maybe, but you know, but the lines were, the way the punctuation was phrased in some of the sentences, I mean, it was designed to have her being like cut off, interrupted, and beat down when you really look at the dialogue, you know. It's like, well, what about either they should have written it differently, I mean, maybe she had delivered it more forcefully, but also she's playing against a problem that you brought up, is that Perry, although you thought he was very
I didn't think he was very. I thought he was touch J. Jonah.
I was feeling like he wasn't not that way at all. So, you know.
Yeah,
you know, he's playing against that.
Right.
He's being too soft, so there's no.
The character was written a little soft. I think there still could have been. I don't know.
Whoever it is, they shouldn't do another one.
Singer was involved with the script. Actually, it was Singer's story. It was Singer's story. That's how he got the movie.
I have no problem with the general story.
Right, but it was his story. He went to Richard Donner and said, you know, this is the story I want to tell. Richard Donner said, that's awesome. I totally give my approval. Let's go talk to the studio.
Yeah.
And they did, and he got it, and that's how it happened. As for the screenwriting stuff, I don't know who wrote the actual script, but I will say this was exciting.
Oh
yeah,
Margot Kidder's not a real beauty, but she played a fine Lois.
Yeah.
Go ahead, and then I have to tell my Margot Kidder rip me off story.
Oh yeah, you do. So I didn't mind the storyline and the whole using the Christmas one. I don't, you know, need to say, and I really felt some impending world doom going on. I'm like, this is really cool. You know, how is he going to get out of this? You know, I was there. And then I honestly had a moment where once he was in, I'm like, oh, this is cool, what's going on? He's going to find the core and shatter it,
yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes.
I was like, oh, cool. And I'm like, and then when he started going, I'm like, shit. I go, he's Superman or so. I mean, it's such a cop-out. I know he's Superman. He said wonderful things. He did the whole flying through the city and saving people thing. It was wonderful. And I just went, oh, shit. You know, it was such a cop-out.
The way that I understood what they were saying is that the stuff was self-replicating, so that if he left it behind, it would just keep generating. I mean, whether he crushed the core or not, that was a big problem I had. This is the sense I got, was that it was all self-replicating. If he didn't take all of it out at once, it would just keep restarting over and over again.
Well,
if he crossed the core, it wouldn't do anything?
Well, there was no implication that there was a core, and I think that easily could have made it. Because, I mean, if he went in and then you saw him yank out a crystal, that's the original crystal, like the white-colored crystal, and you, like, pulled it out, and had the whole thing crumbled, nobody would have a problem with that because we have no reference for how the technology works.
Sure.
Kind of a cop-out. But, you know, especially, you know, that's the other thing. Like, what's the point of diving? I mean, this is the truth. The thing made of kryptonite, again, the kryptonite issue. What's the point of drilling directly through it if you're
going
to go even? Why didn't you just...
No, no, he was
going
under.
He went like to the side and under.
Like, it's
it was
here.
At an angle.
He went under here.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I thought they showed him penetrating the surface above the water.
No, no. That was all underneath.
That was all underneath.
All underneath.
All
yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay, so Margot Kidder ripped me off.
Margot Kidder.
Have I told you
the story? I think so, but tell it again.
Okay. So, Wizard World Chicago, last year, 05. We go on Friday, and I like to look in the back and see who's there, you know, who's there signing stuff.
Right, the visit, right.
Right. So I saw Mark Singer. I was like, all right, Beastmaster's here. And I saw Mankind, the wrestler. What's, I can't remember. Mick Foley. Mankind. And, you know, Beastmaster had, like, I don't know, five people in line or something like that. And I got them to sign my program, which I thought was cool. I'm not a big autograph collector, but...
No, the Jay. No, refers to as Beastmaster.
Right, well, just like, you know...
You're more James, Cyclops.
James Marsden. James Marsden is Cyclops.
Oh, dear.
But he's Cyclops.
Well, once you get the title of Beastmaster, how do you let that go?
Right.
I never would. You're like, yeah, no matter how cheesy you show it, it'd be like, yeah, you will call me Beastmaster.
Dude, I'd be signing shit. Paul R. Bixby Jr., Beastmaster.
It works for Terry Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
Why not?
So,
the Beastmaster Bixby.
You're damn right. So anyway, so Beastmaster has got like five or six guys. Mick Foley, Mankind, has a line around the whole back of the freaking auditorium. And there's Margot Kidder in the middle. Nobody is in front of Margot Kidder at all. I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad. She was even on Smallville the season prior, you know, so she's had a little exposure, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's sad. Well, okay, I'll go by tomorrow and have her sign something. I'll bring my movie in. That was my big idea. I'll bring my copy of Superman in and have her sign it. You know, at least just here I think I'm doing her a favor, right?
Right.
You know.
There's multi-movie millionaire.
I don't know multi-millionaire she is anymore.
Yeah,
but,
that's awesome. But
she's
made like, millions.
Sure.
She spent it all. That's her problem.
We're spending all on drugs and hiding in bushes.
Right,
you know.
Right. That might not. Come on.
$10 more. Right. Anyway, so here I think I'm doing her this big favor because no one. I mean, there is literally
no
cricket sound in front of her booth. So I show up on Saturday, and I'm all happy with myself, and I got, I have to tell this, too. We're walking around our sale on Friday, and Christopher Reeve had just died not long before, 2 months before. And someone had a very realistic statue of Christopher Reeve that they had an original Christopher Reeve Superman costume on. I mean, this was like lifelike, like he was standing right there. So that's somewhere in Artist Alley on Friday.
Okay.
With a guy who just does this stuff for Hollywood, I think.
Okay.
So on Saturday, very first thing, I have my Superman DVD in hand, and I walk back to Margot Kidder's booth, and now she's got like five or six people. I'm like, oh, go Margot. You know, way to go, Lois Lane. Good job.
Right.
And I notice she now has that Superman statue next to her that she's charging people to take pictures of, you know. Like, she stands next to the statue, and they take pictures of her, and she's like, okay, $10, please. I'm like, I'm not paying $10 to take my own photo of her in front of the statue. It's not even hers. Like, I probably would have been okay with it if I had not known that it was somebody else's, you know. She kind of appropriated it. And she's got, you know, like, signed pictures and 8x10s and 5x7s and stuff on her table, like they do. And there's $5-$10 on them. But I didn't want a picture. I don't want an autograph picture. All I wanted her to do was sign my damn movie. So I walk up there, and she says, hi, how you doing? And, you know, I've got my daughter with me, and she says, you know, oh, what's your name? And I tell her Madeline. She goes, oh, Natalie, how nice to meet you. I'm not going to correct her. All I want is the damn signature.
Right.
I'm going to leave. So she makes goo-goo faces at Natalie because she's adorable. And I was like, can I get you to sign my movie? She says, oh, yeah, absolutely. So I hand her the movie. She signs it, Margot Kidder, hands it back to me. She goes, $20, please. There is not a sign anywhere that says $20 for a signature. The picture she's providing, I mean, was she providing the medium on which she is signing, and she's charging $5 and $10 for it? There's no indication whatsoever that you know, it's going to cost me $20 for her to sign something that I own and brought in. You know. So I was in such shock that she asked me for $20 that I just handed it over.
Right. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but I got to give this lady $20 because you just said so.
Right. I'm like, Lois Lane asked me for $20. She obviously needs it more than I.
Here's your check.
I was absolutely stunned. I got ripped off by Lois Lane.
That's pretty funny.
It put a spin on the whole rest of my day. I just kept walking around going, Margo Kidder ripped me off.
Right.
So, that's my Margo Kidder ripped me off story.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You get political. If you believe George Bush, you probably wouldn't spend the money on drugs. You helped terrorism.
That's true.
Good job.
Terrorism.
If you give Margo Kidder $20, Mr. Terrorist win.
Margo Kidder $20. That's classic.
I happened to overhear because I was eavesdropping on the conversation she had with the guy before me.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently she was. They didn't like her so much on the Smallville set that they killed her character off. I missed the episode, but apparently she's dead and she's not coming back. So apparently Margo Kidder still thinks she's, a diva who can charge $20 for her signature.
You just shut her ego.
Right.
Yeah, totally came into that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. Yeah, she was fine on the show. I do like it when they bring characters back who are older as different characters. You're like, I had forgotten completely that the woman who plays Clark's mom in Smallville, give me that just name, anybody?
No.
You're talking about
Clark's mom.
Yeah. Annette O'Toole, who played Lana Lang in the
third one. Yeah, I forgot that she played Lana Lang
mm-hmm.
in Superman 3. You know, I'm watching Superman 3 because Mike brought him over.
From my house, by the way.
Right, from your house. And
so don't let him take them home.
Right, no, I don't think he would.
No.
I mean,
scared
of
not.
Right, he's not dumb.
Yeah.
But that's still not cool, having one of the Dukes of Hazzard. Which, funny thing, I'm not such a fan of the show, but I am a fan of, like, the actors that play the Dukes of Hazzard.
Really?
Yeah, the show...
Big fan of Bo Duke.
The show just...
What about Ralph Coopy Coltrane?
I like those characters. The show bored me. I don't know that I've gotten through more than one full episode. I seem like, it's only half episodes. I've never gotten through
my brother and I,
episode of Dukes of Hazzard. It's like, kill me.
My brother and I came up with this whole theory about Dukes of Hazzard. There are things, I think we came up with five things that never happen in Hazzard County. One, it never rains. Why does it never rain? Because the General Lee's doors are welded shut. The only way to get in and out of the General Lee is to slide in through the window, which you can't close, or else you won't be able to get in.
Oh, good point.
So it never rains in Hazzard County.
Can't get into the car. That's pretty good.
No construction job is ever finished.
Oh, God, well...
Millions of bridges are started.
That place is Hazzard County in Illinois.
Millions of bridges have started. Tons of roads are begun. So there's gravel and there's ramps and there's safety horses all over the place. They never get finished.
Right.
They're just there for the General Lee to jump.
Nor are they ever so dangerous that going through one or two of these barriers will completely annihilate your ability to move.
Right. No one comes into Hazzard, into the city of Hazzard, unless they're either related to the Dukes or a criminal. Period.
Right.
Those are the only people
only
who visit Hazzard.
Right.
The laws of physics in Hazzard County are such that if you jump over a ravine in your car and you smash the front end of it, as soon as you change the camera angle, your car will be fine.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get smashed all the hell in the landing shot, but as long as you look at it from a different angle,
right,
it looks great.
It's a matter of perception, yeah.
It's true. I can't remember what the fifth one was.
It
had something to do with law enforcement, I think. But.
Yeah. They wasted all that time with this guy videotaping the thing for no purpose.
Well, no, they were watching it.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, to no real purpose.
Who was
playing the background?
When were they watching it?
Right before Superman destroyed their little island fortress.
Yeah,
that's what was playing on the TV.
That was a waste of time.
It was fed his ego.
They emphasized the camera. Well, here's his problem. I'm glad that in a way it wasn't good. There's sort of a movie logic. Movie logic says if something innocuous and seemingly pointless is pointed out to you and you as an audience are made aware of it, it will have a point later in the movie. The camera guy pointed out not once, not twice, probably three times that they made sure you got, you know, he came enough center camera
with
the camera to know, like, oh, there's that guy recording, which is not key to the scene, but, like, there's Lex Luthor's buddy recording what's going on, waiting for something. And the something is nothing.
Right.
That's the
thing. Actually, here's the reason that they put so much focus on him with the camera. So that at the end of the movie, when they're all sitting on this island, you can hear Lex's voiceover saying their entire civilization and science is built on growing crystals. In case you missed that section, you had to piss or something. In case you missed his exposition there at the beginning of the movie, it's there again at the end, right before it becomes completely relevant.
No, but
or just after it becomes completely relevant.
Yeah, I would say, it's after the scene, therefore
right.
You're just befuddled. And it was,
that's the idea.
And you had to come to that conclusion beforehand. Otherwise, the whole scene would be like, WTF.
Well, that's just it. You know, if you missed the beginning part where he explains that the whole science is based off of, all this shit happens, and you're going, WTF, and then you hear, you know, they grow the crystals, you're like, oh, that's what happened.
If you need that, you might as well recap half the stuff in the movie.
that might be general public kind of thing.
The first 5 minutes of the Transformers movie, Jen? In the first 15 minutes.
What? Did people just die in the first 5 minutes?
No.
Remember the part when it opens? It opens with the planet being eaten.
Right.
And then it goes to Decepticons, and then it goes to the moon watching them, and then they send the people to transport out.
Right, when the moon is watching the Decepticons, isn't there a bit where there's an audio transmission of what just happened?
Oh, they were child anime movie versus major motion picture.
It's not a child anime movie.
Well, yeah, actually it is, because anime has different rules than regular life.
It's Americaname.
It's Americaname. Man.
I'm going to smack him.
But the point of the video, the showing at the end, was to be ironic. You know, that was the point. But it definitely did not feel sufficiently. Especially since he said a little bit about small-minded people, which shows his arrogance, who that's they're going for.
Right.
And then, you know, his own arrogance supposed to be throwing back in his face. But really, especially in a movie like this, to make that work, I think you need to be, and I'm not one for direct, I prefer clever writing, but that wasn't clever. You know, they need to be more like a line earlier where he was like, you know, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing this to be like a god, I'm doing this because I was meant to become a god. And then, if you had that line, you know, replaying later, it was, okay, almost worth it, which was recording, but it wasn't, you know.
I'm not saying it was subtle by any means, it was completely ham-handed, and it was, to me, obvious it was there as an expositional device for later in the movie when a potential expositional device was needed.
I'd say, I guess I have a hard time nowadays with movies that I'm not anybody paid to do these things. I don't even do these things for fun on my own. But if I feel I can fix the movie, like we're fixing the movie now.
Yeah.
All I needed was a simple round table before. It's like, okay, we have the script, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
If one or two things she'd forgive, and she'd forget things from the first X-Men movie. It was, you know, it was good, but there were some things, but, you know, they tightened up some screws and stuff like that. And there's so many blatant things. It's like, it's much like with Final Fantasy the movie. How did you get that far into it? How did you decide to put all this time and money into it and start with such a mediocre script?
Right. How did you not realize earlier on you're screwing up and scrap the whole thing? But I think that has to do with sort of the living the machine. As soon as you get that first, you know, we're talking about, you know, $100-$200 million film. As soon as you get this first million invested, you know, which is really, you know, only 1%, you know, of the way, you know, now somebody's got $1 million if it doesn't go through. And whoever's million that is going to do whatever it takes to make sure. Because they're not going to lose. If we're all to imperfections, it was a pretty good movie.
It's
not going to lose money.
No.
You know.
I think what you're saying, essentially making a movie in Hollywood is a juggernaut mentality. Once you get the momentum, it's impossible to stop it.
Right.
You know, before you get started, you can take him out.
Sure, right.
You know. Before you take him out, before you get started, you can take him out. But once it gets going, it's kind of going. And you're going to reach an end somewhere.
I will say one thing that did really well was
it should have been cheesy, considering a lot of the other things that I found were cheesy. The one thing I thought they did well, and the character, is even though he hated the bimbo, whatever the hell her name was.
Parker Posey?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think she was ever actually given a name. The Miss Taskmaster character.
Hey, let's focus.
Yeah.
All right. When she they did a good job showing her progression as to why she did what she did. I mean, everything else should have felt ham-handed. It didn't feel overly ham-handed. And then the scene where Superman was being beaten and whatnot. I mean, she didn't do anything because that would have been way out of it. But she did want to do something, and or it affected her. That I think was handled very well.
And I think
that was the emotion you do. I'm gonna stop that.
It was. I think it was even it was handled even better than the first one we did it with, because that was Miss Taskmaster's arc as well, where she's she's Lex's henchwoman.
But you realize that.
But she ends up sympathizing with Superman after Lex has gotten the best of him.
Right.
So in both cases, well, more so in the first one, but Superman loses if not for this woman betraying Lex. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one, I mean, he drowns. Essentially, because he's got kryptonite around his neck.
Right.
Cool. And then, you know, Lex's missiles blow up two coasts. But this Taskmaster's mom is in New Jersey, and Hackensack, I think, in New Jersey, and he's got to go stop the missile, and she takes the thing off of his, off of him, and he can go save her. This one, he may have won the day, but he's lost the war, because he still has 5 or 6 crystals left.
Right.
You know, so he just tries again later, you know. But in this case, she dumps him into the ocean, which also started the whole thing over again. There's some serious, plot.
Oh,
hole. Okay.
Semi-trouble.
How did Cyclops get from the plane onto the yacht?
Oh, they don't talk about that? And did you notice at one point the plane was tethered to the yacht?
Yeah. No, I didn't see it tethered.
Oh, there was a rope.
Was there?
There was a rope. Well, not like a climbing rope, but like...
Sure. Maybe that's what
he's
that line or something.
I mean, you know,
this is not a speedboat.
This is a multi-floor. There's too much. They're just like, it didn't feel like they were trying to focus on something else. It felt like it's like, oh, that's too much detail.
That's hand wiping. Exactly. That's what it means. Hand wiping.
The whole opening was like that.
He got onto the boat the same way they got King Kong on the boat.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they get on the boat.
He's just on the boat.
No, she's not touching her except that it's flawless.
That particular hand waving, I did not have much of a problem with.
That's a very minor thing.
That's the point. You take one more. They do that so much in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's too much of it, but that's
I
really don't want to know how he got on. I could get on in that situation. You can probably get on.
Okay. I think you'd be hard pressed to get onto the yacht in the middle of the ocean.
The whole boat sinks, and then, first off, I thought that was kind of funny, they had, buildings almost collapsing, and 9/11 kind of feel to it for a moment. I mean, I'm seeing the movie, just kind of funny, the way the world is, and you see this stuff, and then the boat breaks in half and sinks, and it's very Titanic. Again, not blaming him for copying, I'm just saying, because everyone's going to think a boat sinks like a Titanic.
Yeah, boat sinks.
The one thing I learned, let's ignore physics, because physics are important, okay, but physically, the problem with the Titanic too, anybody near the boat when it sank gets sucked in by the vacuum.
Right.
What's not going to be still standing? Blood flying. It's going to be affected by the wake. If not hit, then sucked or something. Whether or not, there's going to be some effect. It's not just going to be sitting there like, hey, I guess it's still here.
Yeah, the seaplane should have been, gone. But,
because it's still sank, even though he stopped for a while.
Why would Superman lift up the whole boat to get them out rather than open the door and pull them out of the water?
There was no, because they weren't that close to the surface. I was thinking that. They already had, air.
That's fine. He's just got to get them up to the surface and get them out.
They still have some air in there.
Oh, no. He's saying, why not bring the boat most of the way up? Just so that he's below the surface, and then grab him
around
and hauling the whole boat out of the water.
Right. He
lifts
the
boat completely correct. All right. Completely correct. Because he's Superman. They have to establish early on, he can lift large.
Although, I have to give him credit for the way they use the flight power. I thought that was really awesome, because normally when he's lifting something in flight, they always show him, underneath it, or,
holding it away.
When he picks up the boat, he's standing on it. So he's essentially flying, pulling it behind him, towing it almost.
Mm-hmm.
His feet, for him to fly, his feet do not have to be open to the air. I mean, it's not like he's kicking his way through the air or anything, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you see him depicted otherwise, he's always, free, other than, maybe something's on his back or he's holding something in his hand. there's no reason he couldn't stand on something and fly it out. Which they did, which I thought
sure,
was actually really cool.
Except they should have showed more of the screen, because all I saw, because they zoom in on him and they back off, and I get what they're doing, but it still felt like, okay, the director's like, you're flying.
You're flying,
like, you're flying.
Right.
Why? Because he's just standing there like this, and I'm like, that's the easiest thing to shoot ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it still felt like that.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that felt that he looked utterly stationary, and he was going like this.
Especially with the, and the, with the big rock,
they
too.
They should have just started out with...
They do that with the big rock, too.
Yeah.
You know.
And side note, when I think of that, it was like a crane shot, I think of, completely side note, they're doing a Warcraft movie, and I was reading a magazine, they had a, no, like, there's more parody of, like, the old-style games, like, 3D perspective, so they're like, a new Warcraft movie, and someone's like, all I can say is, cranes, more cranes, another crane shot, because it's all,
yeah, calm down.
Seriously.
You never see any with space, you're just the back shoulder and the head.
Great lines in that game. Watching you play it almost made me go back and play it. Not that I went through Frozen Throne, I never did, but...
So are we...
I think that's pretty much it.
I'm freezing.
You're a semi-pro movie reviewer. If you had to give it out of 5 stars, what's your rating?
Honestly, out of 5? I usually do a 4 star.
Sure. Extra star for a good measure. It's free. I think
I'd have to go with 3.
3?
Yeah.
That's higher than I expected from there, actually.
Yeah.
3.5, I'm going to cheat the system a little.
No, that's fine, because I was also going to say 3.5.
Well, see, I would have given it 2.5, but again, despite the fact I don't like the original styling and whatnot, I can appreciate what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I think it was poorly done, and in terms of they shouldn't have done it, but since they did do it, I can respect that from my standpoint.
Here's the reason I give it so high, despite all the flaws we've discussed this evening, is because still, when you, for all the, you know, given all the flaws, I mean, if you just listen to all the bad things you said about the movie, it's one, you know,
yeah.
But... when you compare it to, you know, we're kind of the high standards of, like, good comic book movies. You know, it was no Spider-Man, but Spider-Man wasn't, like, 4 stars out of 5. Spider-Man and people was 5 stars out of 5. It was really great. So, I think.
I agree. I wouldn't, now, going out of 10,
I wouldn't say 10 out of 10. It'd be, like,
sure.
9 out of 10. But
sure.
5 stars, that gets it a 5.
Yeah, I might push 4.5 on Spider-Man.
Okay.
Maybe.
So it's not that. But when you compare it to, like, other ordinary movies, you know, like, how entertained was that? I was entertained. I cared about, you know, Superman. The special effects were great. You know, I wanted to see him save people. You know, I know they showed the preview many times, getting shot in the eye. Still awesome.
Seriously.
You know.
Interjected humor. I mean,
yeah.
I laughed,
you know.
Superman dead. Well, we have to cover all bases.
Superman lives, yeah. We'll celebrate. We'll mourn.
I mean, to me, you know, there's all kinds of things you can rate a movie on, but I almost always, you know, rate it on one thing, and that's how much I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. 3.5 stars. It was enjoyable. It was better than most films. I saw Cricket, you know. Didn't enjoy Click, right. Didn't enjoy it quite as much. Still enjoyable. 3 stars. This one, slightly better. 3.5 stars.
It's a
film, obviously, completely, but...
I give it 3.5 stars. It's actually lower than I wanted to give it. I wanted to give it 4 stars, because I enjoyed it a great deal. I was a very happy geek watching the movie. I'm a very happy geek. What knocked it down a half a star was the fact that it was his kid. Because you don't make a new Superman movie without intending it to be a franchise. You know, there are going to be sequels. At least there's the full intention of there being sequels.
That money to be made.
You know what you just can't hand wave? You can hand wave, you know, Cyclops getting from the flames above.
Sure.
You can hand wave Superman lifting up the entire boat to rescue the 3 people that are trapped in the water cooler.
So far, so good.
You cannot hand wave the fact that Superman has a son with powers. I mean, that has to be addressed in the second movie. And you know, I mean, unless you're going to take him, like, off-world and put him on in his arena type of thing, you can't do that.
And
they're not going
or
to.
Or make him an unexpectedly, you know, cool kid somehow that you care about and appreciate.
Right. The reason they haven't done the Super Baby in the comic books is because it'll never go away. You can't make a Super Baby go away. Once you create a Super Baby, it's there forever.
Right.
That's a step you can't untake.
Right.
You know, and just kind of blow that wide on the first film, that is just astounding.
All I have to say is, if the immediate next meeting between Lois and Clark is not Clark saying, hey, we have some dinner and
coming.
That's a deal breaker right there. Okay,
yeah.
Hands down. I don't care what kind of aloof alien you want to. There's not a child involved, and that child is flying through the kitchen, putting things with his eyes.
Yeah.
You need to have a cell phone number.
Right.
No Superman help, okay?
Right. I wanted to rate it higher because, unlike you, Jen, I really love the source material, and so this was extrapolated from there, so this, you know, was all ready.
Source material was the first two movies.
First two. I would really be, you know, wanting to get a really high mark if they only didn't make it his kid. But.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have felt really cheated if it wasn't, because...
They lead you there the whole movie. I mean,
Yeah.
But
well, technically they never say it, so I kind of give it a little kudos there. They never...
He throws...
No.
Yeah.
No, okay. But
that's not what she's saying.
They never actually say it.
Right. And it appears he's unaffected by kryptonite.
Well, they kind of implied that with the crystals say, you know, because he even said, much like a child and his father and his son or something like that, where they inherit aspects
right.
of. So... read Superhuman Soldiers. The government's going to come in soon. Hey, our favorite word.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so final word. See it, don't see it.
Oh, wow.
So you gave it 3 stars. I mean...
I know, but within the genre. I always do within the genre.
Within the genre, I mean...
I've given horror movies like 3 and 4 stars. I know, but you have to like this type of movie with that preface.
Sure.
So as a fan of stuff, I gave it 3 stars.
But what would you give the actual movie?
The general populace is going
to
like it more. I mean, if it gets 3 within the genre...
I think general population will think it's going to like it. I mean, because they're not going to look into it nearly as much. And,
right.
You know, they're fed a lot of crap, you know. I don't want them to see it, though, because it's a step back in comic book movies. You know, I don't think
it is.
We worked so hard to establish certain things and hit a level and make logic still apply. And
I'm happy leaving that stuff to Marvel. I mean, I know Batman did that, but you have to do that with Batman. I'm happy leaving all that realistic stuff to Marvel. Superman. I want to see Superman.
Yes, but, you know, if I hadn't seen it done other places with more logic, even in the series, you know, I can get behind that, not kind of Justice League.
hand waving.
Superman, I don't care how much better it got. All I have to say is
no, JLA 2 was a lot better.
I don't care.
Different show.
Right.
Different
show.
It's not right.
Why are you talking about the two shows? They're different shows.
Anyway, Superman, Adventure, whatever.
Sure. Paul Dini Superman.
You know, take the writers from that and make the movie. Because that, I thought, better done in terms of trying to make a story and make it work.
Okay,
you know?
But that doesn't answer my question at all.
What?
See it, don't see it.
I think a general pop is going it would like it. I don't want them to go in the fact that I don't want...
But don't
want
see it.
I don't want them to. It's different.
That's fair. She's saying maybe they want to go see it, but she doesn't want them to.
Right.
If somebody says, should I see this movie? I'll give exactly what I just told you. Nothing to black and white.
Okay.
I'll say
see it. You know, see it. Know what you're getting into. I mean, clearly, if you're listening to this, you've already seen it.
Right. Yeah.
And if you haven't, well, there was a spoiler warning at the beginning. It's your own fault.
Right.
But I would say go see it. You know, go see it. If you haven't ever bothered to pick up the comic, find somebody who knows. About Superman can point you to what the good series are, because a lot of them that suck, and then the ones that are brilliant will blow your mind, because there's way more to it than you might imagine if you're not a regular reader of Superman.
Yeah.
You would think it would be the basic stuff. Those of us who've read it know that the best stuff is really moving in more than one way. What about you?
Oh, I'm a definite see it for me, but with the caveat of if you're going to go see it, watch the first two movies first. I think you'll get a lot more out of it. Because there's a lot of great little touches like through the whole movie, references to the first one. Like, in fact, the suit that Clark wears when he first comes back is almost lifted 100% from the movie, because back in the 70s, people wore 3-piece suits. No one wears 3-piece suits in the office anymore. You know, so...
Yeah, I mean,
There's just all these nice.
Not even for the little Easter egg. I mean, for the simple fact that it really does.
It puts you in the right frame of mind, I think.
Well, it's for all my mocking, it still is like the third in the series.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No fucking so Richard Pryor.
I liked him.
I liked the third and fourth movies. But I was also...
You said you liked the fourth movie.
What?
You said you liked the fourth movie.
No.
He's got to take it out.
Hold. I liked the third and fourth movies, but I was young when I saw them. I was 8. I was 10, you know.
I don't even know if that's an excuse.
You're supposed to like Nuclear Man when you're 10.
And you know what?
Oh. You sure that you even had your
life in 86? For 1986, in which case I was actually 8 when it came out. But I think he said Nuclear Man was kind of cool. I thought.
Only 8-year-old I ever knew on crack.
Yeah. Look, I'm on record for not liking Animal House, so I can say.
Wait a minute. There's one more relevant thing.
Let's wrap it up.
Well, almost one. What was that? What were we just talking about?
Oh, just now.
Before Nuclear Man.
The see it, don't see it. Watch the first two movies first.
I guess that's it.
Oh, good God.
Frame of mind. All right. So, yeah, we have 2.5 feet.
I hope you enjoyed as much as I did.